Welcome to the King's Road Podcast. I am your host, Justin Yance, the Aries Justin Yance. And I'm going solo here tonight, and we are talking, well, believe it or not, we are talking about Valentine's Day. And since it's Valentine's Day, I thought we would go through the top five couples in WWE history. We're just going to start with WWE. But let's talk about Matt Cardona and Chelsea Green, who, I got to say, Matt Cardona, the former Zack Ryder, I really enjoy what he's doing, especially with Chelsea Green. I like his whole shtick. I like how he's become like the king. He's kind of the king of the indies right now. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Steve Corino. He just won the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. And I love that. I think that's great. He's also, you know, an Impact champion. So he's got two belts and he's doing great work. And I'm just really enjoying everything that Matt Cardona is doing. And Chelsea Green, you know, adds that. He's got the hot woman with him. You know, he can do the distraction finishes and stuff. I haven't seen all of it, but like from what I've seen of it, I really enjoy it. And I think it's great that he's reinvented himself as this top heel of the indies, the guy who came from WWF or WWE, excuse me, what WWF, it's very, nobody calls it that anymore, WWE, and now it's, you know, here we are. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the top five in WWE. So let's start with number five, and this is my list. This is subject to interpretation, but I'm going with this. First on top five, number five, Miz and Maryse. I think Maryse gave the Miz something that was missing in his work, something that, you know, just wasn't there. He kind of needed that girl to kind of give him a little bit of a flair to it. And his work that he did with the John Cena Nikki Bella, that was great. When he was mocking John Cena and, you know, Cena's rule number 24 of John Cena's house, you must eat every single bite of food, you know, just making fun of that. And then when they had, he did Daniel Bryan, now Bryan Danielson, and was like, "Ooh, you know, too much meat hurts my tummy." Just thought that was the greatest thing. And, you know, and Maryse doing the John, I love that room. I can't stand the Miz, but when the Miz is with Maryse, I can tolerate it. She adds something to him. So that's number five in my book. Also, I thought the match that at the Royal Rumble with, you know, with Edge and his wife, the Glamazon, Beth Phoenix, versus Maryse and The Miz. Not really a great match, but added a lot. So number five, Miz and Maryse. Four, I'm going to go with, actually, I would say this is five, but, you know, I kind of liked this dynamic at the time. It kind of, looking back at it, we're just talking about couples, and I don't know if I would say this is the best. I probably put this above Miz and Maryse, but I'm kind of going here, you know, solo. So, you know, I kind of actually want to change my pick there, but, you know, just for sake of it, we're going to do it. For Kane and Tori, Kane in 1999, you know, he had gone through DX and now he's got a girlfriend. And, you know, this first time they kind of did the girlfriend thing with Kane, and you got the big giant monster and he's got the hot woman. They were kind of like playing off of like young Frankenstein and, you know, that kind of deal. I thought it gave Kane a nice dimension. My only problem with that couple is when they broke up, I don't know. Kane doesn't really need to have a breakup type thing, but that's what they did. And, you know, what can you do? But yeah, Kane and Tori, interesting dynamic. I mean, one of the things I didn't like is with X-Pac, you know, and Tori, when they were kind of feuding, the way he would beat Kane is by attacking Tori, and then like Kane would just become, you know, composed. Ah, what am I going to do? Like he's this, like he's King Kong, and like, I don't know what to do. My woman is hurt, you know, and then he would lose. I hated that. I thought that brought, just made him, I don't know, it made him weak in some ways. There's a way to do the woman thing with the monster, but I've never seen WWE do it. I would say that's five, but we're just going to say four for nostalgia purposes. This is just my list. Now, three, I'm going with Edge and Lita. I loved this dynamic. Number three, Edge and Lita. Edge and Lita, they brought each other both up. Now, they just came off of the big thing with Matt Hardy and stuff, and putting the two of them, putting Edge and Lita together, being these two heels. I mean, this just raised Edge up. Edge became, you know, really a top guy through this act. When he does, when they did the ladder match and they sent Matt Hardy packing. I mean, that was just great stuff there. And then you have with Edge, it gave him, you know, when he had the money in the bank and he would like, you know, she'd slide the money in the bank in, and then he'd hit him over the head with it. I liked that. They gave them this cool dynamic. I thought they complemented each other very well. And even in 2006, when he finally won the championship and, you know, he's kissing her and they did the hot sex and the live sex for the celebration, which was kind of hokey, but at the time they got a six from that. So kind of worked. But I thought he being with Lita brought Edge up to another level, because through that he was able to channel his anger from the Matt Hardy feud into his promos. And you could see that. And it was unique. And, you know, Matt, you know, they gave him a live match and he just never was able to, you know, he was never able to do it. He was never able to talk well, not until Broken Matt. But, you know, Edge and Lita in WWE, I just thought they just, that had everything perfect. It was just perfect, because Edge and, you know, he was a heel, you know, he had won Money in the Bank, but by giving him, you know, the lady, the girl to, you know, to help him cheat, just made him seem more dastardly. And then when he gets, you know, Vicky, I mean, this is really the beginning of the ultimate opportunist stuff. And the more and more I saw of them together, the more and more it's like, okay, he's a real top guy. As soon as he gets the chance, he's going to fly. And as soon as he got that title at New Year's Revolution, yeah, I knew he was going to do that. Now, they tried to sabotage it, but he was so good that he was able to do it. Even the match that a lot of people don't talk about, but the ECW One Night Stand 2006, Edge and Lita versus Tommy Dreamer. Cactus Jack or Mick Foley at the time. And wait a minute. It was Edge, Lita, and Mick Foley versus Tommy Dreamer, Terry Funk, and Tommy Dreamer's wife, Beulah McGillicuddy. And they had, that was cool. She was able to, you know, really play up the, you know, she kind of played up the slut aspect of her character, you know. You know, you had Cena, you know, kidding her over stuff. It was, I thought this was the perfect thing for Edge, and it made him that. So that's my number three, Edge and Lita. When I come back, I'm going to talk about the top two. All right. Okay. Number two, Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth. Could it be anything else? Who else could it be? It has to be the Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth. I think you'll know what number one is, but this is my list, and you know, there's no other way it couldn't be but those. But yes, Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth, you know, she. It's hard to explain this because in the 80s, you know, this wasn't, you hadn't seen this before. This was new, you know, that horrible man with the guy, with the woman that is, you know, pure, you know, so she's managing him, but, you know, but he's a heel. So you got the baby face manager woman and the heel. Now they've done this over and over again. They did this Mark Marrow and Sable, and it always ruined every single one. It's never worked ever again, but it worked here. This Macho Man was able to, when he finally turned face, it enhanced him. And then when he turned heel and he got away from her, it brought up, you know, it brought this interesting, you know, touch to him, you know. And then when he, you know, finally reunites with her, and they married, and even I'm talking WWE, but in WCW when she came in there, you know, before she kind of gets with Luger, but you know, she was kind of associated with the Macho there, especially in the NWO point when they bring in Liz in the NWO. But yeah, she was like the homecoming princess with the jock that was just a jerk and an asshole and didn't give a fuck about anybody but himself. And I really enjoyed what I really liked that dynamic. I mean, just thought it made it's hard to talk about because it's been so overdone, but here it really worked. I mean, it was Kelly and the, you know, Mike Knox. And poor Mike Knox, he never recovered from that, you know, till he changed up, and they still never really gave him the chance. Kelly got all the accolades, and he was just nowhere to be seen. But yeah, Macho Man and Liz, I mean, can there be, it's either one or two. I mean, that's the top. It really is. It's the couple of the 80s, especially in Vince McMahon's rockin' world of 80s wrestling, you know, is Hulkamania and, you know, the Macho Madness. And, you know, having, you know, he would be like this crazy nut and he's, well, let me tell you something, brother. You know, I can't do his voice. You know what? You know, I was sitting here looking around and I see, you know, Miss Elizabeth there. You know, I saw a plane fly by, but, you know, I don't think it was a plane because I'm not on it. You know, and she'd be like, well, you know, I just want to, you know, it was such a nice contrast. They were a dichotomy, you know, the two of them. And it worked when he was a heel and a face. And I've rarely ever seen a couple where, you know, she always stayed the same. She never really turned heel. The only time they really did heel stuff with her was really in when WCW did it, when she kind of was, yeah, she was kind of a heel there. But in WWE, she was always, you know, the pure person, no matter what was happening. Whereas Macho, you know, when he was a heel, you know, that, you know, he had the George the Animal Steel thing at WrestleMania 2, WrestleMania 3, you know, he's grabbing her and throwing her, you know, into, you know, Ricky Steamboat, you know, in that amazing match. And then, you know, 4, when Macho Man finally gets the belt and becomes the champion. And then in 5, when they kind of like break up and they reunite at, you know, WrestleMania 7, and that leads to, you know, the marriage. But a lot of, you know, a lot of cool stuff that, you know, that they went through. And then putting her with, you know, just interesting. There's an interesting couple. It really is. And, you know, cool. It's number 2. All right. So now we are at number 1. That's my poor impression of a drum roll. Who could it be? And the winner is at number 1. Who else could it be? Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. The couple that I grew up with. there for people in the 80s. That's there for me. It's Triple H and Stephanie, and they just, it worked. I mean, it really worked when she, you know, turns around and embraces Triple H at Armageddon 1999, and they hug in the middle of the ring, and you hear the cheers and you hear the reaction they got. You knew they were off to something. Did I know that they were going to go the way they were going to go? But at this time, this was not, you know, passé. This was new. It felt new. And this was kind of how they wrote out Vince McMahon's character until March of 2000. Where they start to run the show, and she really she delves right into being a heel and becoming annoying and, you know, the slut stuff. And, you know, I think Rock was the first person to like really talk down to her and be like, let the Rock give you something you should have heard a long time ago. And she puts this little smirk on her face, like, how dare you? You know who I am. I'm Stephanie McMahon. And it was brilliant. At first, it was so good. Now they eventually, you know, reconcile with Vince and they all become a team, and then it becomes ridiculous. It becomes another faction. But is it any different than the corporate ministry? Is it any different than the corporation? The McMahon-Helmsley regime, it was pretty much the same thing. When it was just the McMahon-Helmsley era and it was, you know, Triple H and Stephanie and DX and whoever else he wanted, that was new. That kind of felt new. It wasn't this overdone stable. Once you throw Vince and Shane into it, it's like, oh, okay, it's the same stuff we've seen. But through that, you know, Triple H really becomes a bona fide main eventer. You know, you see him have the street fight with Cactus Jack. And she doesn't even show up there till like very end because she's and causes, you know, kind of causes Foley to lose. And then at Hell in a Cell, when they finally retire Cactus, you can hear go, yes, as the three hits. And, you know, and JR is like, and he'll take his little bride back to WrestleMania. Godspeed, Mick Foley. But they were like the power couple, you know. They were like, they became like the Bonnie and, well, they're not really Bonnie and Clyde, but, you know, they had elements of Bonnie and Clyde, you could say, in there. They were kind of like the king and queen of everything. Homecoming king and homecoming queen. You know, he was, you know, here's the jock and here's the head cheerleader, and we're going to run roughshod over it. It's kind of similar to, you know, the franchise Shane Douglas and Francine and ECW. This was kind of their like take on it. But Vince, they really ran with it. Now, by the summer, they were supposed to get away from it, and they didn't. And I think that was kind of a mistake long term. They didn't have a plan. And then they kind of did this thing where, you know, he was a face, and then it never worked. And then they finally, you know, they have the moment on Raw when they're supposedly going to renew their vows. And Triple H is a huge face here at 2002. And Pie faces her down and says, we are through. How could you do this to me? You know, like he sits there. I see you as you truly are, a no good lying bitch. You can see that he pedigrees Vince and everything. And that was like the end of that. And they always hinted at Stephanie and Triple H, because then in real life, they were starting to date. So that's kind of why they got away from it. And they married in 2003. And Vince had a street fight, no, an I Quit match with his daughter, where they were very violent. And everybody, you know, backstage was like, she's going to lose a tooth. They're going to look like, you know, freaks on the wedding picture with like one tooth missing out, you know, everything like that. I mean, Vince wanted to put their wedding, their actual wedding, on TV. I missed one of the best parts. I remember when Triple H was revealed to be the one to marry Stephanie. Now, at the time, nobody knew where that segment was going, because it was supposed to be Tess, but Vince Russo had left, and they decided to, you know, make it Triple H. And this was building to Triple H and Vince. And when that, I just remember the pop it got back there. You heard that pop, and then you heard the pop when she turned heel with him. I was just magic. But I, you know, let's go back to now 2003. So then they kind of got away from it. They hinted at them, you know, in 2002, there was, or 2003, there's a moment where, you know, he's about to go have a match with Kevin Nash. This was actually in Charlotte, North Carolina, Judgment Day, 2003. And he says, be careful, Hunter. You know, and when he was in DX in 2006, you know, and they were talking about, you know, that guy must have a cannon. You know, they really never brought it up till actually 2009. And I actually love the beginning of this storyline. The beginning of Triple H and Randy Orton was so great. When he hits the RKO on Stephanie, he had punted Shane, and Triple H comes out and he's holding her hand, and there are tears coming to his eye and anger in him. It's an expression I don't think I've ever seen from a human being. It was so amazing, that thing. And he stands up and you just knew it was on. It was Triple H and Randy Orton. And then they turned it into comedy and it was awful. But that was the first time they really acknowledged that Triple H and Stephanie in real life were married. And then you flash forward to finally, you know, Triple H has kind of becomes like, you know, part of the family, which, you know, this is why it has to be number one. They took over the company in some ways. And Triple H and Stephanie, you know, then they kind of became the authority came at. And that their first real feud was with Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan. And, you know, that was great. I felt it ran its course in 2014, but they kept it going till 2016. I think it should have ended in 2014 when Sting, you know, screwed them. But yeah, I mean, it was at one point the plan was supposed to be Ronda Rousey and The Rock versus Triple H and Stephanie, and they never were able to do that. But I felt like, you know, this the power couple, this is where like everyone knew they actually were a part of the company and they were doing. So they were like playing off of real life. I didn't like how she emasculated a lot of the baby faces because, you know, at this point, the baby face couldn't hit the woman at all. It wasn't like at WrestleMania 16 when she slapped Rock and Rock bottoms her and does the thing. Rock was like the first person that like actually hit a move on Stephanie. And it was, you know, at WrestleMania 16 or WrestleMania 2000. And, but yeah, they, you know, they're a couple that started as fiction and became reality, very similar to the Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth, where it, you know, became a reality. But here with this, they actually ended up almost taking over the company. And if AEW didn't come around and kind of give Triple H his first crushing loss as a COO, I don't know. I think he would still be there, but now he's kind of, I don't know. He feels very neutered to me. He feels defanged and, you know, nothing. Stephanie is still in a very, you know, high profile position. She's no longer like a heel on television, but, you know, but she's, you know, she's kind of the spokesperson of WWE in some ways. She does a lot of, you know, the charity work. But yeah, that's my top five. We said five was Miz and Maryse. Four was Kane and Tori. Three was Edge and Lita. Two, Macho Man and Liz. And one, Stephanie and Triple H had to be there. And as I said, I think Matt Cardona and Chelsea Green, they're going to be a good dynamic. Another couple that I think, if they continue, who are actually a real couple, is Scarlett Bordeaux and Killer Cross, or Karrion Cross. But I'm sure he's going back to Killer Cross. Who now has hair. I think they're going to be a really cool couple that will work really well as just this this dynamite. I thought Penelope Ford and Kip Sabian could have been something, but Kip Sabian, I don't know, is he even there anymore? But so the two, I would say, to the new couples that I see coming up is Matt Cardona and Chelsea Green. I see that's going to be something. And then Killer Cross and Scarlett Bordeaux. I think that's the two couples. What was it? The girl that's now in NXT who is with Will Ospreay. I thought they were kind of a cool thing, but yeah, I think Yeah, Matt Cardona and Chelsea. I'm really enjoying what they're doing. And I think Killer Cross, when he gets back to it, he's, you know, now he's free and he can do what he wants to do. And I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be a good dynamic of a couple. So that's my couples there. Just a little Valentine's Day thing. I wanted to do something, you know, special. We will be back to Sting, but, you know, Valentine's Day kind of got in the way of, you know, recording. So I was just like, I wanted to get something out here as always. So there you have it. I've got it right there. So that's the top five. And the top two, I would say, going into the next 10 years is, I would say, Matt Cardona and Chelsea Green. I would say they are there. Now, I could have said Sable and Mark Merrill, but I never really liked them as a couple. As I said, franchise Shane Douglas, if this was everybody, I'd put that in there. Ric Flair and, you know, and all the valets he's had. You know, what can you say? Another couple would probably be Triple H and China. That elevated Triple H and China. No one had ever seen anything like China. So with that, I don't think we have anything more. If you want to reach us, remember, you can always, you know, email us, kingsrowbroadcast@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram at the Kings Row Podcast. There's like two of them, but you know, if you have a question, I'll see it. We're on Twitter as well. Yeah, and we have a Facebook page. And we will be back with Sting as well. So with that, I think we are done for this episode on my Valentine's Day couple. And so I will, I don't think there's any more couples that I really would go through. I mean, you could do Matt Hardy and Lita. You could do Matt Hardy and his wife there. I forget her name. So maybe that's why. But yeah, it has to be Triple H and Stephanie and WWE. So the truth shall set you free.